Today's reading is John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 23rd May 2021 is a special day in the church calendar. It's Pentecost, the day when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 records that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon them like a mighty rushing wind, a mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire appeared on the heads of the believers, and they all spoke in new tongues. This Pentecost day literally changed the course of history, because this was called the birthday of the church, and it was when the people, the believers, received spiritual power to bring God's gospel, God's good news, to the ends of the earth. The Pentecost experience still impacts us today because it enables us to live life in the Spirit. How can we live life in the Spirit? In our reading today from John 7, Jesus tells us how. Firstly, we are to receive and then refresh. We are to receive for ourselves and then refresh others. John 7, 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." To get the full impact of these words of Jesus, we need to know the setting. Jesus was speaking on the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's in John 7, verse 2. The Hebrew word Sukkot can be translated as tabernacles or booths. And this festival, Tabernacles, is celebrated at many levels. At the literal level, it's a commemoration of the time where the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. During these days of Moses, there were no permanent homes for the people, and so they lived in tabernacles or booths. And even to this day, when the Jewish people celebrate Tabernacles, they will build temporary shelters to stay in. That's a literal level. But there's a deeper level to this feast. And the deeper level is that it is a celebration of the miraculous water that God gave to the people in the wilderness. In Exodus 17, we read that the Israelites, wandering in the desert, were so desperate for water, so thirsty, so desperate, that they even wanted to kill their leader, Moses, because he was the one who brought them into the desert. In desperation, Moses cried out to God. And God said that when Moses stood before the rock at Horeb, God himself would go there, would be there at the rock of Horeb. And when Moses struck the rock, water will come out for the people to drink. It's a great miracle. In celebration of this miracle, the people in later times developed traditions. So one tradition was that during the first 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, the people would gather in the temple at Jerusalem. Then the priests would march down to the pool of Siloam. They would gather water from this pool, go up again to the temple, and then pour the water on the altar. And they would do this for 7 days. But the final day, the eighth day, was a special day. It was the climax of the feast. And so on the eighth day, the priest would actually march 7 times around the altar before going to the pool of Siloam. This would be the last time the water would be poured out on the altar. And on this day, the eighth and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he shouted in a loud voice. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Bible scholars believe that Jesus said these words at the exact time when the priest was pouring the water on the altar. And so you can imagine the dramatic effect. The people gathered in the temple, as they watched the priest pouring the water on the altar, their minds would be thinking back to the days of Moses in the wilderness, thinking about God miraculously pouring out water, living water from the rock. And at this very time, Jesus stands up and says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." In other words, Jesus was saying that he is the rock. He is the rock from which living water will flow. We need to know it wasn't easy for Jesus to say this. He said it at great risk to his own life. John 7 verse 1 tells us that the religious leaders in Jerusalem were trying to kill Jesus. And it was actually safer for Jesus to stay behind at his home in Galilee. But to bring this important message to the people, Jesus risked his life, went openly at the Feast of Tabernacles, stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus said these words at the risk of his own life. And for us, how do we take to these words? Are we desperate to drink the water that Jesus gives? Or maybe we are asking, how do we actually drink from Jesus? First answer, be thirsty. We must be thirsty. In Judges 15, we read that Samson performed a mighty miracle under the power of the Holy Spirit. He killed 1,000 enemies, 1,000 Philistines, using nothing but a donkey's jawbone. Tremendous miracle. But after this, Samson became so thirsty, he nearly died. And so he cried out to God. God miraculously opened up a place of water in the dryness. And when Samson drank this water, he was revived. Are we like Samson, so desperate for water that if we don't drink, we will die? How do we drink the water that Jesus gives? First, be thirsty. Can we pray and can we say, "Jesus, I'm dry. I'm spiritually dry. Unless you give me spiritual water to drink, I cannot go on." First, be thirsty. Second, receive the water that Jesus gives. This water is the Holy Spirit. Before I became a pastor, I was a journalist in the Straits Times. There were a few of us journalists who were Christians. And so one day during lunchtime, we got together and we invited a guest speaker. This guest speaker was Canon James Wong from the Anglican Church. Canon James Wong came and he spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he prayed for some of us. He prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then later, I received the gift of tongues, just like the disciples in Acts chapter 2, also baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the gift of tongues. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? If not, there's time later and we can pray together. How do we live a life in the Spirit? First, receive. And then secondly, refresh other people. John 7, 38 to 39. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of two kinds of water, stagnant and living. Stagnant water is the water that is kept in containers, big containers like cisterns. And this water is kept there for a long time, until it's drawn out little by little. But there's another kind of water, which is called living water. And this water has a fresh source. It's like rain, but it's like waterfall, a fresh source. And God says that he himself is the source of living water. So we read in Jeremiah 2:13, God says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So when Jesus says that believers out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water, he's actually talking about the dramatic change that will take place in our life after we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will so flow through in us, out of our hearts, that we will be able to bring refreshing to other people. This is a photo of church members, Abby, her husband John, and me. I visited them recently in their home and we took this photo. The story begins at the cathedral's prayer and praise last month. The prayer and praise is actually our cathedral prayer meeting. It takes place on Zoom. And as part of this prayer meeting, we are put at random into different breakout rooms to pray with small groups of people. So I was put in a breakout room with Abby and John, and I didn't know them, but Abby recognized me. And she said that some years ago, I had prayed for her. So I totally had no memory of this. So I made arrangements to meet her subsequently to find out what happened. And so we met, we ate some nice pizza, we took this photo, and then she told me what happened. She said that some years ago, her vision was very blurred. Her eyes were very tired. Her whole body was very tired. And she had a perpetual headache. Her headache never left, even though she took Panadol faithfully for 7 weeks, every day 7 weeks, but her headache never left. So finally, she went to see a specialist in the hospital, and the specialist diagnosed that she had suffered a stroke, and she actually had a blood clot in her brain. So she was warded in hospital, received treatment, and when she was better, she was discharged, even though there was still a blockage in her artery. She was, as it were, a walking time bomb, not knowing when the blocked artery would give her trouble again. Then came one Saturday when she attended the cathedral's 4:30 p.m. service. I happened to be preaching that day, and I was preaching about God's miraculous healing of a cathedral member. This person had been suffering from tinnitus, which is like a constant ringing in the ear. And as I shared this miracle, I shared of how God touched her and healed her miraculously. So when Abby heard this testimony at the 4:30 service, Abby's faith rose and she had faith in her heart to believe for her own healing. So after the service, Abby came up for prayer and she told me she had a stroke. She told me there's a blood clot in her brain, and we prayed. So this happened, and about a week later, she went for an MRI scan of her brain, and her specialist looked at the results, and the specialist said to her, I forgot to say this happened just before Christmas. The specialist looked at the MRI results and said to her, congrats. He said, you have the best present that you can ever have for Christmas. He said, the blockage in the brain is gone. And then he added, this is very rare. It's very rare. So I praise God. This was a tremendous miracle healing that God did for her. You know, Abby, young as she is, she's the mother of five children, and they really need their mother. God's goodness to Abby was shown again and again. Her husband, John, at the time that she had a stroke, he was not a Christian. But later, as he saw the power of God moving, faith stirred in his heart. And Abby, she had the joy of seeing her husband and her mother-in-law baptized in the cathedral on the same day. It was wonderful. I marvel at God's goodness to Abby and even to me. Because as I said, this took place actually many years ago. It took place in December 2015. And I totally had no memory of ever praying for Abby. I didn't remember ever meeting her at all. But someone put us together in the breakout room last month at the cathedral's prayer and praise. And this someone was none other than God himself. So that's God's goodness to me. You know, this testimony that I've shared is not about me, obviously, because I don't even remember anything about praying for Abby. But this is a testimony of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what happens to us after we're baptized, that we're able to live a life in the Spirit such that the Holy Spirit is as streams of living water. He flows out of our heart, enabling us to bring refreshing to other people. Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that after we're baptized in the Spirit, we can receive spiritual gifts. So in Acts chapter 2, the first gift that the disciples received was the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says that there are tongues of men and tongues of angels. Have you received? Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. First, I want to pray for you if you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've heard about Pentecost, but you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you wish to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to receive the gift of tongues, would you just close your eyes? Just raise up your hands like this to receive from Jesus. He is the rock from which the living waters will flow. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks that truly on the day of Pentecost, you poured out your Holy Spirit. You poured out your Spirit upon the believers, and the world was never the same. Lord, I pray for everyone here today who's desiring to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that even as you baptize the believers, you will baptize these brothers and sisters here today. Fill them with the power and with the anointing. And Father, open up their lips, Lord, that their tongues may speak in new languages which they have never learned. Tongues of men and tongues of angels. Hallelujah. Secondly, I'd like to pray for you if you've already been baptized in the Spirit, but you want a fresh infilling. We can drink from the water that Jesus gives again and again. So if you want to receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit, will you also raise up your hands and we will pray. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters who are wanting to receive this fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, don't let us be dry. But even as we desire more and more of you, we want to grow in our relationship with you. We want to grow in our love for you. Holy Spirit, will you just fill us again, 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 like waterfalls falling over us, refreshing us again, again. Lord, that we can bring refreshing to the world. So we bless you, Lord. We bless you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.